It's the largest wheelchair sporting event in the world, and it's coming to the Bay Area, the 33rd Annual National Veterans Wheelchair Games. This is Florida Matters.
Support for Florida Matters comes from the Hospitals of BayCare Health System, providing more than 100 health seminars, classes, and events each month. BayCare's mission is to build a healthier Tampa Bay. Register for a complimentary health seminar, class, or event at BayCareEvents.org.
This is Florida Matters. I'm Carson Cooper. Most wheelchair athletes are no different than able-bodied athletes. They're competitive. They'll endure long hours of training, pain, and exhaustion with the goal of crossing that finish line first. But for a wheelchair athlete, it takes even more efforts. The very thoughts of that thrill of victory brought one Bay Area athlete out of retirement to compete in the National Veterans Wheelchair Games.
It's 8 a.m. and we're in the parking lot of Jefferson High School just southeast of Tampa International Airport. Dwayne Schuneman has a bag of Allen wrenches in his lab as he assembles his racing wheelchair.
I take it apart, put it in my car. Then when I get to the track, I take it out and put it all together. Actually, being in a wheelchair means you have to be a good mechanic. Always tightening something, adjusting something.
Schuneman had to borrow the track chair from the VA. He gave his away when he quit racing 10 years ago. Now it's sort of like wearing someone else's track shoes.
It's just a little wide for me, but it's working great. It's top-notch shape, so we're good to go.
The Navy veteran maneuvers the racing chair ahead of him as he wheels toward the track. After encountering a few locked gates, we find an opening to the track. Schuneman loosens a series of Velcro straps, easing his feet into what looks like a fabric bag. He tips the three-wheeled racer up and transfers his torso inside the frame. Schuneman's knees are folded up against his chest as he straps into the racer.
I can feel it. It's been, you know, because of all this rain, it's been 4 days since I climbed into this thing. I can tell my legs don't want to do it this morning. My first attempt to get in this thing may be an epic fail, so if I fall on the ground, don't worry. It happens.
Schuneman brings up a point that a lot of people have a hard time with. When should you offer help to someone in a wheelchair?
Everybody's different. Everybody in the chair is different. And a lot of times they say, oh, you know, when you break your neck and end up, you know, with a disability or get shot or whatever, that it makes you or breaks you. I say when you end up with a disability, it really doesn't make you or break you. It just sort of accentuates who you are.
Schuneman broke his neck diving into a backyard swimming pool 18 years ago. He'd been a Navy electrician and was working at UPS at the time. Now, he's a year from earning his college degree in elementary education from the University of South Florida, St. Petersburg. And he teaches dance to children with disabilities as well as able-bodied kids.
We have a studio over in Oldsmar, and the kids come there every Saturday morning. We have a children's class where we have like 4-year-olds to 10-year-olds in the class, and then we have a teens class. Revolutions Dance. It's really quite special. We have a young girl who is blind. We have a girl with spina bifida, a couple girls with CP, a boy with autism. We have a few able-bodied, you know, typical kids who are in the class, and they all work together.
He says wheelchair athletes are just like able-bodied athletes.
We are just as competitive, you know, and train just as hard, and our sport is just as tough.
Schuneman will compete in the 100, 200, and 400-meter races, and he'll play quad rugby, which is a wheelchair rugby.
One of the reasons I'm going out on the rugby court is to show them that a dancer can be just as tough as they are, and I plan to knock a few of those guys over myself. All in good fun, of course.
He can expect some fun and some very competitive events at the 33rd Annual Veterans Wheelchair Games in Tampa. It will be held at several venues throughout the Tampa Bay region. For Florida Matters, I'm Joselise Ramos.
From the Donna Studio at WSF Public Media, I'm Carson Cooper. It began with a game of basketball. Young disabled veterans of World War II began playing hoops in their wheelchairs at various VA hospitals around the nation. That was back in the 1940s, but wheelchair basketball soon expanded to track and field, bowling, swimming, and other sports. It wasn't until 1980 when the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs created the Recreation Therapy Service, which brought about the first National Veterans Wheelchair Games the following year. Karen Collins is with James A. Haley VA Hospital in Tampa. Welcome to Florida Matters.
Good morning, Carson. How are you doing?
Good. Congratulations on landing these games. This is a big deal.
Oh, we're very excited. This is only the second time it's been in Florida, so it's quite an opportunity for everybody to come out and enjoy it and learn a little bit.
Last year was Richmond, right? And it was in Richmond the very first time, as I recall.
That's true.
Well, Davis Celestine is president of the Gulf Coast Chapter of Paralyzed Veterans of America, and one of the competitors in this year's games. Welcome, and first of all, thank you so much for your service to our country.
Thank you. You're welcome.
It's an honor to have you here. And where were you serving when you were injured, and can you describe what happened?
Well, I was serving in Jacksonville, Florida. I got injured in training, I think. I'm not too sure. I'm just going off of memory. But when I woke up, I was in a hospital, and from thereafter, they flew me down to James A. Haley to rehab, because from my commander, he found out that Tampa VA had the best rehab facility throughout the country. So he pretty much did a good job and set me up for the rest of my life.
Now, was it you that I saw on a YouTube video show somebody named David Celestine at a winter sports clinic at Snowmass, Colorado? You were tearing up the slopes. Was that you?
Yeah, that would be me.
Can I just tell you one thing? You picked the wrong place to downhill ski, you know, Florida in July.
Yes.
So what sport or sports are you competing in this year?
I'm going to be competing the first time in quad rugby. I'm doing hand cycling, bowling, and also quad weightlifting, and doing the exhibition water ski clinic that's going to be out in Seminole Lake.
First time ever they're doing that in conjunction with the wheelchair games.
Absolutely.
Dr. Kevin White is the chief of the spinal cord injury unit at James A. Haley. Welcome.
Thank you, Carson.
Adaptive sports can mean any sport that's been modified to some degree to allow those with disabilities to play, adaptive skiing being one of them. Are there sports that have been specifically created for persons with a disability?
Most of the sports that we do for adaptive sports are sports that everybody does, basketball, rugby, softball, swimming, and we're just adaptive, so veterans or anybody who has disabilities, they can participate. Golf, well, there have been a lot of events, pretty much everything that every sporting event that you can imagine. Some of the sports we modify, so rugby, we have something now called quad rugby, so it's been specifically designed just for them.
What about the wheelchair motorized rally?
And the motorized rally, we have a lot of events. Actually, with the wheelchair games coming up, we have events for people who are in manual chairs or in motor chairs as well, and power chairs. And there's a motorized rally for just power chairs to get around and actually participate in something that's similar to, we basically call the Amazing Race for people in chairs.
Davis, I'm looking at photographs of taken during last year's games in Richmond, Virginia. I'm immediately struck by the range of athletes in terms of age, their physique, and disability. Have you always been athletic, or did you ever consider yourself to be athletic?
Well, not really. I mean, I participated in sports when I was able-bodied, but now just watching the camaraderie of the other guys and girls, the girls are pretty competitive themselves. Mm-hmm. So don't look at them as, you know, chump change, but they really give you a good sense of respect once you do the games. It's just camaraderie all around.
Did you play sports in high school?
No, but I played when I joined the military. I played like softball, football, soccer. So I got pretty active in that realm once I joined the military.
So you don't have to be a jock, really, to get involved or be interested in these games, then?
No, you could be a couch potato.
Karen Collins, the first games were held in Richmond, Virginia, back in 1981. 74 veterans from 14 states, swimming, weightlifting, tennis, table tennis. This year's games will feature 18 competitive events.
Correct.
Two exhibition events. And what are the 18 games?
Oh, my gosh. There's everything from bowling and table tennis to rugby, which is one of the basketball, which are the most athletic, I think, of all. Right, Davis? I mean, they're really competitive. And it is something to watch.
I know 18, a lot of games to remember here. We have a link to them, by the way, at WUSF.org. So,
that's great, yes.
Some of the highlighted games.
Well, we have swimming, we have track, we have field games, we have the motorized rally, cycling, which is amazing to watch as well. They're all spread out all over the area, everything from Lake Seminole to the Long Center to Raymond James Stadium, where the motorized rally will take place.
Dr. White, some of these games are not for wimps. Some of them might be for couch potatoes, others are not. And I'm looking again at a photograph from the games in Richmond last year. Two players, chairs on their sides, down on the floor at a basketball court. I cannot tell what the ref is calling there, but somebody got a foul here. Are injuries among athletes a concern during these games?
There's a potential for injuries, but these guys are, most of them are well-trained and they're athletic, and they've been doing these games for a long time.
And I think what's important is Dr. White has an entire team that's down there on staff that helps the athletes in case of injury. Like, they're there throughout the games to make sure that people are competing at their optimum level, because this is part of their lifelong rehabilitation process.
Mm-hmm.
It helps get them out, get them active, gives them something to be competitive again and shoot for.
Now, in pro sports, of course, there's money that many athletes are after. In amateur sports, it's either the bragging rights, or for many athletes, it's just a sense of personal accomplishment. But with the wheelchair games, there is even more to that. There is the therapy that's involved in that.
It's a sense of confidence, and it's also to give back to the younger guys and girls coming up in the realm to replace these individuals that's getting a little bit older.
Everything is part of the rehabilitation process. When mm-hmm. these athletes come on, some of them haven't been on a plane
yeah.
since their accidents. Mm-hmm. So getting their self, their possessions, their chairs, their family, getting everybody on the plane to come to the games is part of that rehabilitation.
Davis, are there psychological barriers that must be overcome before getting involved in something like this? Self-doubts or, you know, why bother, you know, things like that?
Well, one of the first words you want to get rid of is can't, because mm-hmm. that's more or less like a hindrance. It's more like quicksand. And you want to be able to get over that and create some kind of a bridge to get over these anxiety attacks and just start getting out there and trying to better yourself and see what you could do to enhance your productivity in these games.
Mm-hmm. Carson, something you may not know, Davis is quadriplegic.
Mm-hmm.
And you spent the first, 2 years sitting around?
Yeah, sitting around doing nothing.
And now he's rolling himself around. You'd never know.
Great point. What brought you to that point?
Well, seeing what other guys and girls were doing for themselves at my level. And I guess I was being lazy, having my wife and kids do some stuff for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually you started getting more independent. Even though you learned it in rehab, it's like, okay, I don't think I could ever get that accomplishment, you know, for yourself. And then when you see other people are doing it, who's a higher level than you are, it gives you a sense of awareness that, hey, you need to get up and do something for yourself.
Do you find yourself counseling other disabled veterans?
Yes, sometimes.
What do you say to them?
Well, I just try to, you know, show them, hey, there's a lot more to do in life than just sitting around doing nothing or playing on a laptop or your iPad or your iPhone. It's more out there, you know, gives you a sense of awareness that you could always be a better individual to you and your family. So,
the very thing, Dr. White, that drew these men and women to the military, you know, that sense of getting things done, that certainly has to help in the rehab and in games like these, too.
Absolutely. That's what these games are all about, is the rehab for the veterans, for the active duty guys, and also the family and the caregivers and staff as well. Anybody out there, you get out there and you see these guys, they're willing to do whatever it takes to get out there and compete and to be successful at it. A lot of when I first went out there, I thought my role was to help these guys and to do what I can for them. Mm-hmm. Quickly, I learned that these guys are showing me something and teaching me that they can do whatever they can do. And seeing them out there mentoring other people, letting the guys know that they can accomplish their goals and do everything as possible. These games are stepping stones often for bigger and better things. They go on to become Paralympians. They go on to to mentor other guys, to go on to get new jobs and get out in the community and do things.
Coming up, rugby is a tough sport. Now imagine playing it while confined to a wheelchair. Learn about quad rugby, a sport that's not for the timid. Go to WUSF.org/Florida Matters where you can view photos from previous wheelchair events. I'm Kirsten Cooper. This is Florida Matters. This is Florida Matters. I'm Kirsten Cooper. I'm here with Dr. Kevin White, Chief of the Spinal Cord Injury Unit at James A. Haley VA Hospital, Davis Celestine, President of the Gulf Coast Chapter of Paralyzed Veterans of America, and Karen Collins with Haley VA Hospital, co-sponsor of the 33rd Annual National Veterans Wheelchair Games. Karen, did you ever watch a rugby match?
Oh, yes.
I mean, it's not. It's it looks kind of scary. Describe quad rugby.
Quad rugby? Well, his hands all taped up over here. You know, he's been practicing.
Well, what's quad rugby? Quad rugby is taking out your aggression on either the guy or girl. It's showing you what your rehab did and what it's going to make you a better person. So what you're doing is just enhancing the game a little bit, might I say. So
it's also called murder ball.
Yeah, yes. Murder ball, yes. Okay.
So what the goal is, or the objective is, don't have the ball because everyone is going to swarm to you and try to knock your head off. So the quicker you can get rid of that ball, it's more less likely that you're going to get injured. But it's a good game, and it teaches you more or less the basic fundamentals of the game and the strategic level of the game, because – basically, it's not really just trying to kill the guy with the ball, but it's the way that you set it up to create a play. So you have the strategic background on that also. That's why you have the coaches kind of giving you the insight and the mind frame of how to position yourself and how to set it up. But it's a great game. And like,
I noticed your fingers right now are sort of taped up. Did you come to the studio ready to fight, or are you getting ready to go practice?
Yeah, a little bit of both.
Yeah? Okay.
You know, Carson, these guys are trained warriors. These are veterans. They've been trained to be warriors, and I think this is – especially quad rugby is one of those sports that really shows that.
Dr. White, I'm sort of the old guy here, I can tell, you know, by a few years. Back in the late 70s and early 80s, when the games were first getting underway, this was a much different nation. The challenges disabled Americans face. This was a decade before the Americans with Disabilities Act, before public accommodations, you know, like parking spots. It's hard to imagine going to a parking lot without those reserved spaces. So it was a different world back then.
Quite different. And that's one of the challenges of the games. For the 33 years that it's been going on, part of the benefit of it is going into a new city and teaching them what it's like and how to take care of these guys. For Tampa to open their arms up and to show them that they can do this and to get down there and make sure the restaurants, the hotels, the sidewalks are all accessible for these guys. It forces really these cities to be ready and accessible for wheelchair guys. Those first games, there were 74 participants. Now there are over 600.
This is a record-breaking year for athletes participating.
Go ahead.
And to be able to take care of 600 veterans in wheelchairs at one time, the city has to be prepared. And that's one of the benefits, go around different cities around the country and teach that and help them get prepared.
And I want to thank the city, too, because we've had a lot of volunteers step up for the games this year, and we're very grateful for that. We've had about 3,000 volunteers for the games to come help out and help these athletes compete.
Mm-hmm. Teaching the veterans, but also teaching the public. And, Davis, I want to ask you, because I know this is on the minds of many listeners. Some folks are uncomfortable for various reasons talking to veterans. Some folks are uncomfortable talking to disabled individuals. Do you find many people don't know how to talk to you or speak to you, what to say?
Well, usually when I see them looking at me, I usually just try to break the ice and say, you know, you could ask me what's the issue with my paralysis in a wheelchair. And then that kind of opens up the gateway for a conversation. But basically, you're just trying to open the doorways to allow them in, because some of them think it might be catchable, or you know, if they come too close to you. So you try to just break the ice and just teach them. It's an opportunity for you to open the doors and, you know, find out what that individual's all about in that wheelchair.
You have the perspective of life on both sides. I mean, before and after being injured. Do you think now, knowing what you know, that there are misconceptions?
My perception before I got injured was always you want to give someone an opportunity to explain himself. You never want to prejudge him. And now in this position that I'm in, I try to reverse it and say, hey, ask a question before you start, you know, doubting that individual. Because this individual might be a person who might save your life one day. You never know.
It's also said that in war, there are really no unwounded warriors. The combat affects everyone, Dr. White.
Absolutely. It affects the veteran. It affects the family, the caregivers, everybody involved. And we're constantly learning. We're learning every day how to treat the veterans and what we should be doing. You know, I can say even for myself in the past, I would have preconceptions per se. You know, if someone's injured, I would put limitations on them saying potentially they couldn't do certain jobs. You know, I think maybe they would have to do things on the computer and couldn't go into a kitchen or say and cook and help them do those kind of things. Mm-hmm. But really the games and just working with veterans and with the disabled, I even learned that they can do everything. You know, the sporting events, the adaptive sports taught me that they can do any sports that anybody else can do. Before I got here, I never water skied. And to see them out there water skiing and playing tennis and archery, everything that everybody else does, and it's pretty remarkable. Now we're going out there saying, you know, you were a cook before. We're going to help you and make sure not just adaptive sports but adaptive kitchens, different areas to adapt it so they can still do the things that they want to do.
Karen Collins, many have criticized the Defense Department and the Veterans Administration for its lack of urgency in providing for the country severely wounded. In your view, is the VA doing a good job?
I think I can say here at James A. Haley, we do an excellent job. We have a 100-bed spinal cord injury unit that Dr. White has opened. We're building a brand new 56-bed polytrauma unit, and we really do take the lessons that we've learned since, especially since this war began, and we're applying that and moving forward with our care and really doing and working to provide the best rehabilitative services we can for these veterans who are so deserving.
And Davis, you came to fight here. You'll speak your mind. are we doing the best for our nation's veterans?
Yes, it has. Like I said, in the past, it was a little rough in the beginning for the guys coming back. But now, with everyone on the forefront trying to make things better for both the guys that they didn't take care of in the beginning and now, it is showing that everyone is showing their awareness and more or less a sense of kindness towards us, the veterans. Mm-hmm. So, well, like I said, I do appreciate the whole community standing by and the whole nation coming together and working as one to benefit us across the board.
Karen, there's a big banner at Tampa International Airport welcoming visitors to the wheelchair games. It shows, I think it shows somebody hand cycling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How many visitors do you expect?
Well, we have 650 veterans coming in from across the world, Great Britain, Puerto Rico, across the country, and their families, and a bunch of workers. And we really expect a lot of people from throughout Florida to come support their local athletes here.
Dr. White, have you ever attended a previous wheelchairs game?
I have. I've attended about 7 different games, and they get bigger and better every year. Every year we try to have an exhibition event to showcase something that may eventually be part of the games. And this year we have 2 of them, water skiing and tennis.
And tennis is great because you can do that anywhere in the country, but we chose water skiing here because of our unique relationship with the water here in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, Davis, sorry, no snow skiing here. I'm totally convinced that's why we lost the Winter Olympics.
Oh, that's what we lost.
Several weeks ago, our producer, Bobby O'Brien, in her Off the Base series said or reported that volunteers were still needed for the event. You're looking for like 3,000 volunteer positions. Have those spots been filled? Are you still looking for volunteers?
I think at this point, the best way people can support the games is to come out and watch. Be a fan in the stands. Help us seize the day in Tampa Bay, as they say. come out and cheer for the athletes.
Mm-hmm. Now, there are a number of venues that these games will take place. Tampa Bay Times Forum, Raymond James Stadium, Lake Seminole, so you're on both sides of the
mm-hmm,
bay.
Correct.
And then
Silver Dollar Shooting Range. We're at the Convention Center.
Is that the big area where the awards, there's got to be some sort of an award ceremony and
correct.
Expo.
The closing is at the Convention Center, but the opening ceremonies are at the Forum.
The majority of the events will be at the Convention Center and the
awards.
What
are the best events for spectators?
Ooh, depends on what you're interested in. I mean, there's everything from nine ball and ping pong and bocce to, again, the more aggressive sports like the quad rugby and the basketball.
Yeah, where's that quad rugby going to be?
It's going to be at the convention center. The soccer will be at the convention center. And the track events are at the high school. And then, so we're all over. The bowling is out in the community as well. And the Long Center will have swimming. So there's something for everybody out there to come see.
Something for everybody every day. And even the last day is some of the championship events
mm-hmm, correct.
For the rugby, the basketball. And there's something called Super G. There's a slalom course that we do and an obstacle course that people in wheelchairs, either in manual chairs or in power chairs, they have to compete in.
Mm-hmm.
And the best of them, they compete in something called the Super G. It's in a higher-level obstacle course, and that's on the last day as well, on Thursday.
And, Davis, we're talking some serious competition, right? Our wheelchair athletes are serious competitors.
Serious competitors, and we talk trash all year long to each other.
You think more so than professional sports or amateur athletics in
maybe
general?
Just about as safe.
I think a little bit more in there. So, Karen, where can we get tickets? And
no tickets are needed. Free, open to the public. Come on down. We do have a shuttle. If you're worried about parking downtown, it leaves from James A. Haley. And we'll take you back and forth. It's free, again, for the shuttle and to attend.
And, Davis, when it's all said and done, what medals will you be wearing?
I want to try to bring in everything that's gold.
Everything gold.
In all my competitive sports that I'm participating in.
What are you doing again this year, Davis?
Which is quad rugby, weightlifting, bowling, and hand cycling.
All right. Watch out for him. Davis Celestine, president of the Gulf Coast Chapter of Paralyzed Veterans of America and one of the competitors in this year's games. Karen Collins, public affairs with the James A. Haley VA Hospital, and Dr. Kevin White, chief of the spinal cord injury unit at James A. Haley. Thank you for your service, and thank you all for being here.
Thank you, Carson.
And that's it for today's show. Florida Matters was produced this week by Bobby O'Brien. And a reminder, all the wheelchair athletic events are free and open to the public. For a full schedule of competitive events over the 5 days, go to wusf.org/Florida Matters. I'm Carson Cooper. Thanks for listening.